I had my children on the floor. I was on my favourite blanket that my grandmother gave me on the floor like a cat.
And I realised in that moment the potential of what our bodies can really do as women.
Like, I could feel his head. I could do my own internal, like, yeah, his head, I could feel it.
I was in tears. I was just in tears and overwhelmed with gratitude.
Hi, and welcome to the Natural Birth Podcast, the podcast that is bringing embodied birth wisdom from women from all over the world sharing their natural birth stories. Don't forget to subscribe and download so that you can always have access to these empowering and positive natural birth stories. Hi, my name is Anna, also known as the Spiritual Midwife, and I am the Natural Birth Podcast host. I'm a midwife and a childbirth educator, and I assist women in optimizing their chances of having an empowering and natural birth experience and a nourishing and healing postpartum. I offer holistic birth preparation and postpartum online courses worldwide for the conscious mama wanting to prepare emotionally, mentally, physically, and spiritually for her birth and for her postpartum. And if you want to know more about me and what I do in the world, then visit me at thenaturalbirthcourse.com. If you had a natural and empowering birth experience that you would like to share with the world, then you can email me at annathespiritualmidwife@gmail.com, and maybe your story will be featured on the Natural Birth Podcast. Now let's dive into today's episode. Hi, Kira, and welcome to the Natural Birth Podcast. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's such a pleasure to have you. You and your little baby girl will be joining us too in this podcast, and all you listeners might hear little Rhea as she's breastfeeding or making little noises as we chat away. So it's beautiful to have you on, Kira. I know that you've had three labors and births, three bubbas. And your first was an emergency cesarean, and the second also in hospital. And your third one was a successful natural home birth of your dreams. And we'll focus on the third one, but we would love to hear as well, obviously, what led you to want to have that third birth, and just briefly about the first two labors and births that you went through that kind of informed you into doing more research and wanting to be at home.
Sure. So my daughter was born in 2013. She was my first baby. And like most first mums, I went to a doctor. I hired an obstetrician. I thought that was the best option. You know, baby doctor will know what to do and how to do everything. Everything was beautiful with her pregnancy. I was very healthy. She was very healthy. We got to around 36, 37 weeks. And I started to feel a little bit under the weather, and my blood pressure rose a little bit. And then we had a growth scan, and they noticed that her growth had slowed down a little bit.
So it sounds like you had a preeclampsia, maybe?
Yes, that's what I was diagnosed with. Yeah. I didn't have all of the indicators for that, but obviously the growth, I also had low fluid. It sort of indicated that was the case. So my obstetrician recommended that I be induced. So that was fine. And of course, when we went into the hospital, I was given an epidural. I was induced using the drip, and very quickly it started to seem that my daughter's heart rate was dropping, so she was going into fetal distress. And I don't remember a huge amount of the details about it, because, you know, that sort of situation, it was, you know, we have to do this, we have to do it now. This is what's going on. So essentially I was rushed off for an emergency C-section. After she was born, and obviously I had a little bit of time to regroup and things afterwards, I did start to think about, you know, how it could have been different, what I had expected pre-birth, what I was thinking was, you know, how it was going to happen. And I started to feel a little bit down that, you know, I wanted to have that experience of a natural birth, and you know, was it me that caused it, and is it, would it be something that would happen again if I was to have another baby? All those kinds of questions. So I started doing a little bit of reading and research and reading some statistics about all of that.
Because you didn't do any kind of preparation with the first labor and birth?
Not really, no. Like I had the normal stuff. I had the pregnancy app where I was following it week by week, and of course that had little links to different bits of information. But I think, yes, as a tendency when you're pregnant with your first, you sort of you don't focus on, you expect other people to inform you, sort of, which, you know, not everybody does. There's a lot of people out there that are brilliant with research and things like that. But yeah, it's also exciting and it's also new. And so you just get swept up in the excitement and the, you know, reading the app every week and seeing how baby's growing and how big they are and all the little things like that. And you tend to forget a little bit about looking into all the other things that there are that you're unaware of at the time. And you also sort of expect that, you know, whoever you have decided to help with your care will provide you with all the information that you need. So you sort of rely on those caregivers to do that, which I found out is not necessarily the best way to go about it. It's important to be informed in your own way and to do your own research and decide what you think is best for you.
And also that, you know, each care provider have a different philosophy and you need to find the one that resonates with you and that has the same philosophy as you.
Absolutely. And yeah, being a first-time mum, I wasn't even really aware that there was all these millions of options, you know.
Yeah, and you're so, you know, that's most mamas. You're so not alone. That's most mamas out there. Yeah,
exactly. So most of starting to think about wanting to experience a natural birth was triggered by my birth with my first daughter. So when I fell pregnant with my son, after doing quite a bit of research, I realized that it was quite likely that going through an obstetrician was perhaps not the best way to achieve that. And so I started reading into the role of a doula. And home birth was brought up at the time, but my partner at the time had too much fear around that, which, as for most fear, was more or less just more lack of knowledge. But of course I wanted to do the right thing by him as well, and, you know, make sure that he felt safe and he was comfortable with our choices, because that's what you do in a partnership. The first step, I might mention too that I lost a baby in between those two. So I did have a miscarriage at about 10 weeks between the two, which was sad but an experience.
And it's beautiful that you mentioned that. It's so important that we talk about it, because it's actually more common than people realize. And
oh, absolutely.
Part of many women's journey in having babies to also lose some.
Exactly. So, no, definitely important to mention that. So really, really, really tough thing to experience. But I guess I sort of feel our babies come to us when they're ready to come to us. And obviously that bub wasn't quite ready yet. And then I fell pregnant a while later with my son. Started looking into finding a doula to help support me. And she suggested that if home birth wasn't an option, or wasn't something that we were going to consider, that perhaps the best way to go would be through our public system in my hometown. And so that's basically what I did. I went to my GP and booked into the local hospital and very quickly realised that it wasn't going to make too much of a difference. I remember at my first 12-week appointment, and I was in there for about an hour and a half with the registrar, and I was already diagnosed with gestational diabetes. I was already diagnosed with preeclampsia. I was already told I was going to have a tiny baby. I was already told it was going to be a big baby, all in one appointment, mind you.
Wow.
And I thought, oh, my gosh. So I really hated the idea of going to the appointments. It made me really anxious and everything like that. And I was met with a lot of, because it was obviously a VBAC, I was met with a lot of, oh, well, if that happens.
Yeah.
So the doubt was just instantly there. It was all doubt. But I had this little internal confidence that I thought, no, I can do this. There's no reason why I can't do this.
Mm.
So I remember I was put into the high risk category with him. Even though all scans and monitoring and everything was perfectly fine, I was healthy, baby was healthy. And so I didn't really understand that. So right up until about 37 weeks, I was still going in every week to be monitored. And I remember the lady doing the ultrasound. She said to me, I think it was about the third time I'd been in, she said, why are you here?
Yeah.
You know, your bub's beautiful, he's moving, you know, you're healthy, why are they bringing you in so much? And I remember saying to her, I honestly don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah, it's the system that is so fear-based and risk-averse and sometimes to the detriment and causing more problems than actually helping in some cases, yeah.
And the resistance when, because I'd done a lot more research by then, and the resistance I was met with when I did say to the doctors, you know, the doctor said to me the first time, oh, you'll have preeclampsia again. And oh my I said, gosh. Well, my understanding is that, you know, I'm having a baby with the same partner again. So therefore that dramatically lowers my risk of having that same condition. And that was when it went on to, oh, well, you might have gestational diabetes. Okay. Why? And I was nobody could give me any real straight answers when I asked why. It was like they weren't used to being asked why, explain, tell me. You know, they didn't seem to have the answers, which just blew my mind. And I remember the last appointment that I went in for, I saw a different doctor that I hadn't seen before, obviously, because you get whoever's on at the time when you go through public. And she said to me, oh, why have they classified you as high risk? And I said to her, look, I'd love if you could tell me because I don't actually know. And she was like, no, I think we can take you off of that. But then in the same breath, she said to me, I think that maybe you should book in for a cesarean. And I said, why? And she said, oh, well, basically we only do cesareans on certain days, so if you need one, you should book in. And I looked at her and I said, so you're telling me if something happens and I do medically require a cesarean and it doesn't fall on a Wednesday, you're not going to be able to do it? And she just looked at me puzzled, and it was a really bizarre appointment. Wow. Really, really bizarre appointment. Yeah, so that was really interesting. But I did go into labour spontaneously. And I remember thinking, with all the research I was doing, because I hadn't gone into labour spontaneously, had a baby, but I hadn't gone into labour spontaneously. So I had no idea it was like I was a first-time mum again. And I remember reading that they said, you know, it's not like in the movies. You don't have the big gush and then you rush to hospital and all that sort of thing. And so I didn't know what to expect. And I remember it was he was born on his due date. So that was pretty cool. And I remember going to bed and it was about midnight, so right on his due date. And I got into bed and I felt really uncomfortable and I couldn't get comfortable. And I thought, no, and for some reason I thought, I have to stand up. I've got to stand up. So I stepped up out of bed, and next minute I heard this almighty pop. And there was my waters broke. It just gushed out exactly like they said it wouldn't happen, which is interesting. And I remember my husband said to me, he said, "What was that?" And I said, "My waters just broke." He was like, "Oh, gosh, okay. What do we do?" And I said, "Oh, well, I'll go and clean up and, you know, I'll take it from there." So I went and had a shower and cleaned up. And anyway, I wasn't having contractions or anything at that point. And I remembered reading that there can be some time, there can be a delay between waters breaking and actually labor beginning. So that was fine. I was confident with that. I hopped into bed and he said to me again, "You know, what should we do?" And I said, "Well, you know, it could be tomorrow when I go into labor. So at this stage, we'll just hop into bed, try and go to sleep. So it could be a while." And then I was laying in bed and about 15 minutes later, I sort of started to get some little niggly pains. And I thought, okay, this is interesting. What's happening here? So about half an hour after my waters broke, I rolled over and poked him again. And I said, "Actually, I think this might actually be happening." So, yeah, exactly how all the information told me it wouldn't happen, but it did. So I contacted my doula, who I remember took a while to answer her phone. And I was living a fair way from my mother, who was coming to look after my daughter. So I contacted her and the contractions got regular very quickly. But I was just sort of sitting around at home on my Fitball, waiting for everybody to let me know what was happening and mum to show up to babysit. And then once she got there, we hopped in the car and we went to the hospital, and that's where we met my doula. And I did find that my labor slowed down, which I now understand is quite normal, obviously, with that delay. It's amazing what our bodies do. So I think I was at the hospital for about half an hour before they sort of started coming regularly again. But that experience was not ideal because, of course, the hospital had a lot of policies on what they expected me to do in my labour because I was a VBAC. And I remember handing the midwife my birth plan, and she sort of had a quick look over it, and her comment to me was, "This is a really great birth plan, but I have to warn you, the doctor will have a problem with a lot of this." And I thought, "Oh, okay, that's interesting." No worries. So, of course, as soon as I got there, it was, you know, you have to be on constant monitoring. So I sort of argued about that and was like, "Well, I'd rather be monitored intermittently rather than, you know, tied to the bed, because movement is best."
Yeah.
And so that went on for quite a while, arguing about that. Then another obstetrician was called in, and her issue was that I had to have a cannula put in my hand. And everything was flowing fine outside of the doctors coming in and talking to me about these things. I was contracting. I was very quiet. I didn't make a noise. Everything just felt fine. Everything was fine. I was not worried at all. And I was just going with the flow. And she said to me, "You have to have a cannula in your hand." And I said, "Why?" Because, of course, I was worried about intervention. So as soon as she said that, I thought, "Oh, this is the first step." And I said to her, "Why?" And she said, "You just need to." And she wouldn't give me any answers. Anyway, we asked her to leave and she came back. And we asked her to leave and she came back, and I kept laboring in between. And I remember being on my knees leaning up against the bed, and I said to my doula, I was like, "Oh, I feel like I need to push." And she said, "That's okay. Just go with your body. Let your body tell you what you need to do." But the doctor came back in again and said, "Nope, we have to have this cannula in your hand." And I was like, "Why? I don't understand why." And she said to me, "If you don't let me put it in, you and your baby will bleed out. You will bleed out and you and your baby will die."
Oh, my God. The language is just atrocious. Awful. Yeah.
Oh. And I remember sitting there thinking, "I'm fine. I know I'm fine. I know he's fine. We're good, you know." And I also felt, listening to my body, that I was very close. I knew that I was close to giving birth. So I said to her, "Okay, fine, put it in. That's fine." Because I was pretty sure at that point there wasn't going to be much they could do in the way of intervention, because I was quite close. So she did. She popped it in and I started to feel the need to push. And then she said to me, "Well, I need to do an internal," which I had already which I'd already stated I didn't want to do. Sorry, I'm losing my earpiece here. And she was like, we have to do it, we have to do it. And I said, no, I feel like I need to push. And she was like, no, you have to, you have to. And I was like, okay, fine. I thought maybe if she just does this, she'll realize that I'm close and she'll leave me alone.
Mm.
So, of course, hopped up onto the bed on my back, and she did the internal, and I remember her saying, oh, you're 10 centimeters.
And yes, like, you told her because you knew.
I did that.
Yeah.
But panic set in. Mm. So I had the wireless CTG on me, and, of course, the minute that she popped me on my back, my son's heart rate dropped.
Yeah.
So she instantly said, oh, we have to get him out now. Mm. And by this point, I was well and truly in transition, and knew that I needed to push. I wasn't in a position to argue. And I remember pretty much just having my legs thrown in the stirrups, up in the air, and she was screaming at me, you have to push, you have to push as hard as you can. And I remember my doula was saying to her, can't we just move her? Can we just move her? On her back, can we get her up? Can we move her?
Yeah.
And oh, you're going to start talking again. And she said, no, we have to get her out. We have to get her out. And she just was yelling at me to push, 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 push. And before I knew it, he was out. And one of the things I regretted about that was I was so caught up in the moment that I remember the one thing she did do was say to me, would you like to catch your baby? And I was just not in a space by that point.
Yeah.
And I remember saying no. And I really regret that. I should have, but I was, being so harassed, I just couldn't focus in the moment. And of course, straight away he was whisked off to the peds who were checking him over. And I remember just waiting for the cry. And he did, thankfully. And it was such a lovely moment. And then it was instantly like, oh, you had your bee back, so you should be happy.
Wow.
And of course, you know, the first few hours or day or so after birth is very much a blur, and you're concentrating on bub and feeding and all of that sort of stuff. And I remember the doctor coming in, the obstetrician coming in that delivered him, and she came in like she needed to defend herself.
Yeah.
Because I just have to come in and, sorry?
Yeah, because it doesn't sound like she actually handled that very well at all. And it's textbook, if you lie on your back and the heart rate drop, you just move to the side. Yeah.
And she said to me, I had to, I have had to come in and explain to you that I needed to do what I did.
Mm.
It needed to happen. And I sort of went, okay, you know, I had bigger things to focus on at the time and just sort of brushed it off and was like, okay, well, you know, he's here, I'm good, we'll be fine. But of course, afterwards, it was, you know, you start to think about it and you debrief yourself, essentially, thinking about how it all went. And I spoke to my doula about it, and my doula was so angry. She said there was just, she wouldn't listen. She said there was, he was born, he was born right on a shift change with the midwives. So when he was born, there was four midwives in the room. And they were all telling this doctor that she needed to calm down and slow down and let me move and all that sort of thing. And, she just wouldn't listen at all. And I just wasn't in a position at the time to, you know, be aware of all of that that was going on. I was also approached by one of the midwives who came in and basically apologized to me about what had happened. And they had apparently put in a complaint.
Great.
About this obstetrician. So
yeah, that's so important, and that's such a strong thing of everyone to have done that too. So that's a good outcome with that. But yeah, of course you weren't in the place of arguing. You shouldn't be in that position when you're birthing your baby. And this is why it's so important to choose your care provider so carefully and to understand that it's going to impact the way you birth your baby.
Yeah, exactly.
But I understand that these births then really informed you in what you wanted for your third. So let's dive into your positive, beautiful home birth story.
Yes. So I found out I was pregnant, which was exciting. And I first thing I did was, because I had already said to my partner before I fell pregnant, you know, if we are to ever have children, I need to let you know now that I will not want to birth in a hospital.
Because you had a new partner at this point.
Yes, yes. Yes, my previous marriage had failed, unfortunately. And that was fine. So he was like, okay, no worries. And then we found out I was pregnant. I was like, okay, so now I have to find a midwife. And that was a chore in itself. I live in a regional town where there is no home birth options. There's no home birth programs, and there's actually no home birth midwives, private midwives in the area. So I ended up contacting my doula that I had with my son, and she had since had her own home birth. So I contacted her and said, who did you use? So she popped me onto my midwife, who I contacted, who was actually from about an hour and a half away. But she agreed to take me on and travel down. And so that was really good. So that was the first step. My pregnancy was very, I had a lot going on personally at the time. So it was very emotionally fueled. And I do remember worrying quite a bit that, you know, I'm very stressed. Is this affecting the baby? Is it, you know, is it going to affect my chances of a home birth? And that was about around the time that I came to find the natural birth course, which was, it was really brilliant because even with all the research that I had done, there was actually a lot of information in there that was specific and that I hadn't come across before. One of those things being, you know, all the functions of the different parts of the uterus.
Yeah.
That was just, it blew my mind listening to how it all works. It was like, wow, this completely makes sense, you know. And it gave me a really good idea of the kind of headspace that I needed to be in to make this work, to make the best possibility of having, you know, my successful home birth. So, yeah, I went through the natural birth course, which was really, really good. I really enjoyed that and it helped a lot in informing me. My pregnancy itself was fairly relatively uneventful. It was, you know, everything was traveling along the way it was supposed to and whatnot. So I did have a little, I wouldn't say scare, but I thought my waters had broken at about 37 weeks. I went to do some washing and bent over and was like, oh, what's going on here? But it was a bit of a false alarm. So my midwife came down and checked me out, made sure everything was okay. And it was all good. And I had some little irregular contractions and Buxton Hicks and things. And then it just passed and everything was good again. So we went and had a growth scan just to check that all was good after that, which it was. Everything was traveling along fine. And so it was just a waiting game. I had decided to have my two children present at the birth so that they would sort of have the option as to how much they were involved. But I had contacted a friend who I was very close with, and she was wonderful with children. And I'd said to her earlier on, you know, when I go into labor, would you be willing to sort of essentially drop everything and come over and just help out with the children? Because I really want my partner and I to be completely focused on me in labor, my birth, and, you know, have somebody there to help out with the kids. Because my son is 5 and my daughter's 7. So they're still at the younger age. And she was more than happy to do that, which was the best thing I did, actually, when I think back to it now, just having that support person there that was just solely to focus on the other two children.
Mm.
So leading up, I was coming up to my due date, and I remember I had a bit of an inkling. I was like, I feel a bit different. I was coming up to that weekend and I was due on the Sunday. And I remember thinking on the Friday, yeah, I think it's close, but I didn't want to say anything because I'd had this little false alarm a couple of weeks before. And I thought, I don't want to say anything because my poor partner, he got so excited and he thought it was all happening a few weeks before. And he was just so, yeah, he was really disappointed when it did happen. And so I was like, oh, you know, I don't want to say anything. I don't want to say too much. I don't want to jinx it. And so I just sort of went with the flow. And then on the Saturday, I started feeling really, really funny. I can't even explain what it was. Just, there was no particular pains. There was no issues. I just felt funny. I just felt, I was like, man, something's going on here. So had a nice bath and everything that night, and sat in the warm water, which I don't normally like baths. and I should say that I decided to have a water birth early on. I actually never thought I would have a water birth because I don't like baths. I don't know why. I just don't like baths. But I did a lot of research into home births and water births, and read about the benefits of birthing in water. And I thought, no, I think this might actually be a good option. And I was lucky because at home we have a really big, deep bathtub. So it was perfect. I was like, we only have a little house, so I didn't think it was really going to work with a big birth pool. But we have a nice big deep tub. So I thought, well, this works, and at least that sort of gives me the option. If I don't use it, it doesn't matter. If I do, then that's great. So on the Sunday that was my due date, I remember we were about to go and take the kids for a walk and a run and the dogs for a run. And I went in to help my son with something, looking for a toy, I think. anyway, I thought, oh, I've wet myself. And then I thought, oh, hang on, what's going on here? So I remember I sort of said to him, I helped him with his toy, and I was like, oh, I'll be back in a minute. And I went to the bathroom and I thought, this is definitely it. There's a lot. This is definitely it. And I was still doubting myself. I was still doubting myself because of the few weeks before. So I sort of cleaned myself up and I went into the kitchen and I said to my partner, I was like, we better not go too far. And he was like, oh, why is that? And I said, well, I'm pretty sure my waters have actually broken at this point. And he sort of looked at me and was like, are you sure? And I said, I'm pretty sure. There is a lot. There is no doubt. I'm 100% sure. And so he sort of got a little bit excited, and he was like, oh, do we stay? You know, do we? And I said, no, we'll take the kids. You know, again, I'm not having any contractions at this point, so we'll go. It's only around the corner. I'll call the midwife on the way there. But I probably won't get out of the car while you're taking the dogs for a run because it was leaking quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And so I contacted my midwife and she said to me, that's great, you know, just keep an eye on it. Let me know what's going on. If there's any changes or you have any show or anything like that, let me know. And she was going to organise what she would do, because obviously she had to organise a place to stay and whatnot. So that was fine. So my partner ran the dogs and the kids. And we got home and nothing was really happening. And my midwife said, okay, well, I'll come over and check what's going on and whatnot. And she came over and we had a chat and she said, yeah, your waters have definitely broken. But I was having no contractions or anything like that. So, of course, the conversation came up about how long it would be before she would sort of recommend that I'd need to go to the hospital. That was a bit of a trigger for me and panic setting a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh no, this is, you know, if something doesn't happen soon, then my home birth, it's, you know, it could go out the window. And I was, you know, I was really, really worried about it. And so I ended up contacting somebody locally that does acupuncture.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, we'll try that. So I contacted her, and I was lucky enough that it was actually a public holiday the day she was born. But she contacted me back on the Sunday and said, yep, no worries. You know, you can come in on the Monday morning, even though it was a public holiday. So I was really, really thankful for that. Nothing happened for the rest of the day. I was just, we were walking around and we were waiting, and I was worrying that I was going to end up having to go to the hospital, and yeah, nothing was happening. And so the next morning, the midwife came over really early in the morning, about 7:30, and she said to me, would I like her to do a stretch and sweep? And I had originally, I didn't want to do anything like that, any of those sort of interventions. But given that nothing was happening and I was so, so concerned about, you know, the possibility of having to end up going to the hospital, I thought, no, if it's going to help to sort of speed things along, then, yep, this is something that I'll consider. So she came over and attempted to do a stretch and sweep, but she couldn't actually find my cervix, which was strange. So apparently it sits in a weird position. So that was interesting. So after she'd finished the stretch and sweep, she left and I went off to my acupuncture appointment. And the lady was lovely. She popped needles in me everywhere and they all felt funny. And she used some electrical stimulators on the ones in my lower back. And she said, "We're going to get this going for you. We're going to get it going." And I was like, "That would be awesome." So I was there for only about half an hour. And as I was going home, I'd said to my partner, I'll get breakfast on the way home. McDonald's, very healthy. So I thought I was driving home and I dropped into the McDonald's and I was sitting in the drive-thru and all of a sudden I just felt really hot and really sick. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm in the middle of a drive-thru. There's people behind me. There's nothing I can do. What am I going to do? Because I felt like I was going to pass out. I thought, oh my gosh. So I remember taking the car, putting the car in neutral and putting the handbrake on while I was waiting. So just in case something happened. And then I started to panic a little bit and I went through and, went through and got our breakfast and drove home very cautiously. And it sort of passed, the wave passed. So I was like, that's okay. And so I came inside and everybody had their brekkie and I had some brekkie and I started to get a few little niggly pains. Just tiny ones. And it was about 11:30 in the morning. And I thought, I didn't want to get my hopes up. And I didn't say anything to my partner because I didn't want to get his hopes up. And so I just sort of kept doing everything and playing with the kids and getting food and doing the dishes and just all your normal stuff. Thought, nope, keep my mind off of it. And I remember sitting on the couch, must have been around 2 o'clock. And I thought, I'm a bit hungry. I'm going to have some fruit. So I sat down on the couch. And I was getting some stronger pains by this point. And I said to my partner, I was like, I'm actually getting some pains now. And I think this could be the real thing. And he was like, oh, do you want me to ring your friend to come and look after the kids? And I said, no, not yet. You know, they're only niggly, but hopefully it's actually happening. And then within half an hour, I remember I went to go and bite into my apple and I all of a sudden got this contraction. And I was like, oh, okay. Yep, this is happening now. And I climbed down onto the rug on the floor and ended up on my hands and knees. And I was like, yeah, this hurts a bit, but this is good because that means it's actually happening.
Do you want a natural birth, Mama? Then the natural birth course might be for you. Do you see birth as a rite of passage and an important and transformational event that you'd like to feel fully empowered in meeting? Are you, like many other women, realizing that it is time to take back your power as a birthing woman in the birth space and birth your baby your way? Would you like to feel calm and confident as you birth your baby with all the tools you need in order to meet the labor sensations naturally and be ready body, mind, and soul? Do you deeply down know that your body was made to birth your baby and that you have all the inherent power and inner wisdom to do so? Are you looking for holistic midwifery wisdom and guidance to assist you and give you all the evidence-based information you need in order to feel fully sovereign in your decision-making around your pregnancy and upcoming birth? Then the Natural Birth Course is for you. Find out more at thenaturalbirthcourse.com.
And my partner was really funny at that point because I think he really clicked. That was like, wow, this is actually happening now. And he went into panic mode, running around the house. And he was like, I have to ring your friend, and I have to do this, and I have to do that. And I was like, yep, okay, you do that. That's fine. I'll just stay here. So I had a few regular surges. I think they were coming about every 15 minutes at that point. And I remember my daughter sort of started to get a little bit worried. She saw Mum was in pain and she came over and she said, are you okay? And, you good, honey? And I remember middle of the contraction, as we mums do, I'm breathing through and I've got hold of my daughter and I'm going, I'm fine, honey. This this is normal. This is what we need to happen. You know, you're going to meet your baby sister soon. Like, this is great. And she got a little bit sad and teary. And so I was assuring her through contractions that I was okay. And my son, he didn't really bother him. He just kept doing what he was doing. He wasn't fazed by it at all. So my partner contacted my friends to come in and be with the kids. And the contractions were getting a bit more regular by then. I was still on my little Fitball on the floor. I think I'd stripped some clothes off by that point because I was getting hot. So my friend arrived and my partner gave her the keys to my car and said, take the kids to the playground, you know, get them out of the house for a little bit so they're not worrying, and my daughter wasn't worrying. And so she loaded them up and off she went. And that was good. So then it was just him and I, which was really, really nice. And so he started, I remember he went in and, put my, vaporizer, what are they called with the oils in them?
Diffuser.
Diffuser, that's the one. So, he put the diffuser on and, I told him that I wanted to have my salt lamps in the bathrooms. So he went and put those on and he got me some water and I was just doing my thing. And, they were getting a bit closer and a bit closer. And I said to him, I really like to get into the bath. But I said, I know that it can stall labor a little bit if you do get in too early. So I'm not sure. So he contacted my midwife and said, you know, it's all happening now. By that point, I'd had a show as well. So that was good. And he said to me, oh, when do we get the midwife to come? And I said, oh, they're okay. But I'm the kind of person that tends to sort of, you know, play off things aren't as bad as they, not bad, but bad choice of words, you know, aren't as progressed as they are. And I was, oh, we'll get there. And he was like, nope, I have to ring her. And so I was like, okay. So basically the contraction started about 2:30 and I think it was about 3:30 that he contacted her to come over and he said, can I put Kira in the bath? And she said, maybe try the shower first. So he ran the shower for me and he said to me, just wait there and I'll come back and I'll get you. So he was in the bathroom and I remember I had a contraction and I thought, if I don't get up and go now and walk to where the shower is, I'm not going to be able to get up again. So I got up and I sort of met him in the hallway and he said, what are you doing? Why are you up? And I was like, I had to go now. I had to go right now. This is my opportunity. And he was, oh, fine. So we went in and I hopped in the shower and I was on my hands and knees. And they were getting really strong and a lot faster. And but I was cold. I couldn't stay warm in the shower because I had to be on the floor. It was just like the water couldn't be warm enough and I had this cold breeze and it was making me really uncomfortable. So I said to him, no, I've got to get out. I have to get out. I'm cold. So I got out of the shower again and I popped a dressing gown on and came back into the lounge room and got back on my Fitball. And so I was laying on that and just rocking through the contractions. And I said to him, no, I need to get in the bath. Can you please run the bath for me? So he went in to run the bath. And while he was running the bath, the midwife arrived. And she didn't really say much. We had music playing and, you know, the lights down and the salt lamps on in the bathrooms. And I never made noise in labor except for breathing. Through the contractions, I didn't really make any noise at all. And so she went in and helped with the bath and I helped in the bath and I remember thinking, oh, this water, it's just, it's amazing. It was just so relaxing. And so I sat in the bath for a little bit and I believe I was only in there for about half an hour and the contractions were definitely getting more. And it was funny because it was kind of like I was semi-conscious. Once I got into the bath and things were really intensifying, I was really just, I could hear everything that was going on and I could hear everybody speaking to me. And at one point I remember hearing the midwife in the kitchen singing along to one of the songs that was playing. But I was just so focused internally on just breathing through the contractions. And I remember two things that I took out of the natural birth course. I kept saying to myself over and over again, astronaut breaths. And then I kept saying, once the contractions got really, really intense and I was going, you can do anything for a minute. And I did the same thing with my son. I was like, don't say that you can't do it. Don't say it out loud, because the minute that you say that out loud, you're going to believe it. Don't say it out loud. You can do anything for a minute. So I just kept writing them through. And I was in the bath, and I do remember that my midwife, because she knew that I had taken a lot of trauma from my previous births, and I remember she leant down and she said to me really quietly, "You and your baby are safe." And it was just exactly what I needed to hear at that point. I was just like, oh, it was that big sigh of, yes, we're okay. We're good. I'm at home. I'm actually doing this. I'm in my house. Like, this is amazing.
Beautiful.
Oh, it was, it was just one of those moments. And I continued to ride through the contractions, and I could hear everybody wandering around. My partner came in and he was putting some cold washes on my face because I was feeling really unwell. I felt like I was going to, I kept saying, I'm going to vomit. I didn't. But, oh, wow, when the contractions were coming, I really felt like I was going to vomit. And so he had the cold compress on my face. And I remember at one point he came in and he went to put it onto my face. And I went, "Don't put that on me." And my midwife said, "Oh, we're just trying to help, you know." And I was like, "I know, I'm sorry." And she's like, "That's okay, it's fine." And I remember looking at him going, "Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to snap at you." He was like, "Okay, don't worry about it."
And, totally. You're in labor. You're allowed to snap.
I remember just feeling really bad after I said that, because I saw it coming at me and I thought, "Oh, no, I can't have that right now." Please don't do that. And then I started to feel really unwell and really dizzy. And my midwife said to me, she said at one point, and she's like, "Are you okay? You don't, you know, are you with me?" And I said to her, "No, I'm here. I'm with you. I can hear everything. I'm just, you know, I'm just focusing." And she's like, "Okay, just as long as you're all right." And I said to her, "I'm really uncomfortable. I need to get out of the bath." And I said, "I need to lay down. I feel really dizzy. I need to lay down." So they helped me hop out of the bath, and I just laid down on a yoga mat on the floor, and I had a pillow between my legs, and the contractions were coming really quick and they were really intense by that point. And that was when my son and daughter got home. So they came into the bathroom, and I remember laying there and I was still sort of feeling very semi-conscious. And they came in and they both gave me a hug. And I remember saying to my daughter, she was like, "Are you okay, Mum?" And I said, "Yes, I'm fine. I'm good. You know, this is what has to happen. It's good." And my friend came in and took them back out, and they were in our shed with the fireplace running, doing arts and crafts. So they came in and gave me a hug each, and my midwife asked me where I was feeling the pressure, and I said, "It's really low down. It's in my bum." And she said to me, "Where would you like to birth your baby?" And I said, "I would really like to be in the water." And I tried to hop up, and they helped me hop up, and I was on my hands and knees. And the midwife said to me, "You know, you can feel yourself. You can essentially do your own internal exam. You can feel if you can feel baby's head." And I was like, "Oh, okay, that sounds different." So, you know, you don't really question these things at the time. So I did that, and that was really interesting. How to feel, and I could feel this big hard, you know, bump in there, and I was like, "Oh, wow, okay, well, that's different." That's good. And she said it might be time to hop in the bath now. And I believe that at that point she'd contacted the second midwife to come along, who was local, thankfully. So she wasn't far away. So I hopped back into the bath, and as soon as I was in the bath, the contractions were really, really intense, and I felt like I had to push, like it was relief. When I was pushing, it kind of took the pain out of it. And so I sort of started to intermittently push a little bit, and I remember looking down at my hand after one of the contractions, and I was shaking heaps. And my midwife was watching, and she said to me, "Oh, it's just lots of energy building up." And me being me, I looked at her and I said, "I'm in transition."
Yeah.
yes, you are. Like this. And I remember thinking, that's good. You know, that's good. Like it doesn't feel great, but I know what this is. I understand what this is. This means that baby's coming soon. You know, this is nearing the end. This is good. So I continued to sit, and I was sort of laying upright in the bath, and I was pushing, and I could feel her coming down the birth canal, but it was like there was something obstructing her. I could feel that she'd get to a certain point and go back up, and I felt like I was in the wrong position. But I was sitting in that position because my partner and I had discussed that we really wanted him to catch her.
Mm.
And because I was in a bathtub, obviously we were a little bit, you know, there was only a certain amount of room and the certain positions I could be in for that to happen. So I remember thinking, it has to happen here. It has to happen here. And so I kept trying and I kept trying, and I was trying to stay in that position so that he was able to catch her. And in the end, I just went, I can't. She's just not coming. She's not coming. I have to move. And so I turned around and I ended up in a squatting position. And just before that, actually, I was in the back of the bath laying down, and I remember my partner came in behind me, and I had hold of his arms up over my head, and I was bearing down on him. And he said to me afterwards, he said, "I thought you were going to pull me in the bath." I didn't realize how strong you were. And I was like, well, you know, if you were going through what I was going through, you'd be pretty strong too. So I decided to turn around, and I was in a squatting position in the end of the bath, just using the sides of the bath for leverage. And I just felt her coming down, and it was like there was something that was just stopping her. I didn't know what it was. And so I kept pushing and I kept pushing, and finally I felt her come past whatever it was that was, I don't know what it was. I don't know whether it's because my cervix is in a bit of a funny spot or something along those lines. I don't know, but I felt her pass through, and I was like, oh, thank goodness. And I remember my midwife said to me, just, you know, slow, breathe, take it slow. And because I'd had an episiotomy with my son, only a small one, thankfully, obviously she was trying to help to make sure that I wasn't going to tear again. And so I remember trying to breathe. I was trying to slow it down, and as soon as I'd run out of puff before that, she'd sort of go back up again. And I finally had her to this point, and I was like, I can't. I have to get her past. I'm not letting her. She's not going back up again. And I was like, no, I have to. And I pushed, and her head was born, and she crowned, and her head was born. And I was like, oh, thank goodness. But then I remember sitting there thinking, her shoulders sitting there are actually hurting more than it did to birth her head. I was like, this is really odd. And then my midwives were saying, she's there, she's coming, you know, just one more push, one more push. And I remember my partner saying, just one more push. You know, he was sort of trying to coach me through the whole thing as well. And I was like, okay. And I pushed, and I don't know why, but I think because of the conversation previous with my partner that he wanted to catch the baby, I just assumed somebody was going to catch it. Here I am squatted in the bath, and I've done that last push, and I felt her coming through. And my midwife said, Kira, catch your baby. And I was like, what? And I remember looking down into the little part of water that was in front of me, and here she was. She was just there. And I was like, oh, my goodness. And I grabbed her, and my partner reached in as well and helped me pull her out. And right as we lifted her out of the water, straight away she just cried. Aww. And it was just the most amazing feeling, because I still remembered that horrible moment with my son where there was that delay in the cry. But I also had in my mind that I knew a lot of water birth babies tend to be a little bit more chill. So they, you know, won't necessarily cry, but just the relief, the feeling of relief when this little noise came out as I lifted her out of the water, and I lifted her up to my chest. And I remember I looked at my partner, and I swore I said to him, oh my gosh, look at her. And apparently I didn't say that. I just thought that. But yeah, so. And that was pretty much a birth. So it was about roughly 3 hours and 20 minutes from that first real contraction through to her being born. So it was quite quick, which I had expected that. And I'd said to my midwife, you know, with my son, he was 6 hours from my waters breaking through to birthing him. And I said, I can only imagine that if I was in a really comfortable, safe environment, that that would be so much faster. And I remember saying to her, I don't believe that this birth will be longer than 3 hours. So it was a little bit over 3 hours.
Wow. You manifested that. You had a very strong intuition that that would happen. And having that kind of really intense short labor also explains why you were maybe feeling so nauseous and kind of out of it, because it just, your body was opening so fast. It was happening so fast. And that's a massive thing for the body and mind and soul to kind of comprehend and be with. Yeah.
That is right. And, you know, I remember thinking I'm a fairly minimalist person. And, you know, I remember reading, I've watched lots of birth videos and I read lots of birth stories, and they all had these beautiful, you know, birth space set up and all that sort of thing. And I thought, knowing me, I'm going to pay no attention to any of that. It's not going to make the tiniest bit of difference, which was, so all I had was a nice dark bathroom and my salt lamp and the music playing. That's all I wanted, which I had. And the minute that she was born, I remember hearing different songs. Obviously, when I was, you know, sort of a little bit more conscious throughout the labor, I heard a few different songs playing. And when she was born, one of my all-time favorite songs just happened to be playing, and probably not the best named song, because it was "I'm a Mess."
I'm a mess.
Ed Sheeran's "I'm a Mess" is one of my favorite songs ever, but one of the chorus lines is actually "Put your faith in my stomach." So I thought that was interesting. My very favorite song was actually playing right as she was born, which was not, obviously could never have planned that whatsoever. That was really cool. And I remember I popped out of the bath, and they took me into the bedroom, which the midwives had all set up beautifully, ready for me to be in there. And I didn't let go of my daughter the whole time, which was beautiful. And we went in there and the kids came in, and they came in and said hello. And that was really beautiful, because it was not even 15 minutes after she was born, they came in and met her. And then they wandered back out, and it was about half an hour afterwards I birthed the placenta, which I just I had her to my breast most of the time, just letting her sort of feel around and decide when she wanted to self-attach, and which she did. And yeah, I remember birthing the placenta was quite, it was easy. Touch wood, I know it's not for everybody, but it all came as by itself, and no intervention with that. And Rhea stayed attached to the placenta for quite some time after, which was lovely, because one of the biggest things I had with my son was that I didn't want the cord cut too soon, and I'm pretty sure that it was cut way before I requested it to be. So yeah, we got some beautiful photos of her still attached to the placenta. I remember with my son, I said to the nurse, can I actually see my placenta? I really want to see what it looks like, you know. Because they just whisk it away. And I did keep it, and I encapsulated it with my son. So I did the same after my home birth, and that was picked up the next day. So I had my placenta in the fridge. My daughter was funny, because she was very intrigued by birth. She'd sit and watch the birth videos with me and all of that. And I had Rhea in my arms, and the placenta was in a tub next to me on the bed, and my daughter came in and she saw the cord, and she was like, "Oh, what's that?" And I said, "Oh, that's the cord." And she's like, "Oh, can I touch it?" And I was like, "Yeah, of course you can." So she sort of touched it, and I said, "You can look at the placenta if you like, but you know, just be aware there's blood and things like that." And she lifted up the lid of the tub, and she was like, "Oh, that's so cool." And she was looking at it. And then I remember my son came in, and he jumped up on the bed and was like, you know, talking away to me, and he saw the cord, and he said to me, "Can I touch it?" And I was like, "Yeah, you can." And he was kind of like, "Ew, that's gross." He went to lift the lid in the tub that the placenta was in, and I said to him, "Oh, just before you do that, mate, I'm just going to warn you." And before I had a chance, he lifted up the tub, and he was like, "Ew." Put it back down again, and I was like, "Sorry, mate, probably should have warned you about that." And so he was just like, "Ew, gross," and that was fine, and he walked out. But they weren't entirely phased.
Yeah.
But really much at all. And one of the best things that happened in terms of my other children was a few weeks after I was driving the kids to school, and my daughter said to me, "You know, Mum, when I have babies, I think I'm not going to go to a hospital. I'm going to stay home." Wow. And I was like, yeah, this is the kind of change we need. Wow. You know, this is what we want the next generations to see and normalize. And, you know, that really made me excited. And I sort of felt more accomplished from doing it and having my daughter see and my son see, you know, what birth could be and how calm and peaceful and just amazing it could be without all the, you know, the medical intervention. And I thought that's what I wanted. That's what I wanted my kids to see out of all of this was that.
That's such a beautiful gift you gave them. Wow.
Yeah, because it's just as important for the boys. For the boys, because, you know, one day he may have a wife who is, or a partner who is birthing children, and, you know, for him to be relaxed and calm and understand it as a completely natural process is just one of the biggest gifts that he could have and give his wife.
Totally.
So, yeah, I was really, really, really proud of that afterwards. It was just so relaxed, and within, I think it was about 45 minutes after, was after I'd birthed the placenta, the kids and myself and my partner and my friend were all in the room, and we sat in bed and ate pizza. And that's probably one of the coolest things I remember about the whole thing, was just sitting there thinking, this is amazing. Like, I'm in my own bed, I'm comfortable, I'm happy, we're all laughing. You know, you would have no idea that we'd just gone through this huge, amazing, you know, life-changing event. And, you know, we're all here, we're all happy, we're all eating pizza in bed. You know, it was just the coolest moment.
Wow, what a beautiful, beautiful healing birth. After your previous two, and wow.
It proves that we can do it. And you must, and it's what I say to anybody having babies now, to listen to yourself, listen to that inner voice. Mm. You know, I knew, I always had this inkling that this is not how it should be. Mm. And I know that it can be better, and I know that I have the ability to do it.
Yeah.
And even the comparison with my children, you know, my Rhea, my home birth baby, she is just so relaxed.
Yeah.
So very relaxed. She's chilled. She goes with the flow. You know, there's always noise around. And I actually find with the kids back at school, she feels out of, she's like, she's out of sorts because that noise is gone. Yeah. And she's so used to the chaos and just so relaxed. She really was. Even breastfeeding just came so easy. It just felt so right. That I just trusted myself, and I trusted that I knew how to do all of this. I knew it was possible. I knew how it would be, and it was, because I had that confidence.
Yes.
And I wish that so many other women could find that confidence, and that it was instilled in us before we got to the point of having babies.
Yes. Oh, I so agree. So let's dive into that. Like, I, you know, if you had a first-time mama in front of you right now, is about to have her first baby, and she really wants to have a natural and an empowering birth experience, what pearls of wisdom or advice would you give to her?
Well, first of all, it would be listen to your intuition. You know, don't be afraid to ask questions. You know, you get so many options. There's so many options now for everything. But the best thing you can do is just listen to that little inner voice. You know if you feel well. You know if baby is well. You know if baby is moving. Like, you know your baby long before he or she is born, long before. You know, even now, Rhea does things, and I think, oh, you used to do things like that. I felt you doing that sort of thing in my belly, you know, like hiccups. I always had the hiccups. And she still always gets the hiccups. But definitely to research, because knowledge is power.
Yeah.
Knowledge is power. And, yeah, no, even if you are choosing to go through a hospital or a birth center or something like that, don't be afraid to ask questions. And I find that when you are met with resistance, when you ask questions, then you know that you need to be asking the questions. Because if you're not, if you don't have care, people caring for you that are willing to help educate you and give you all your options, that's when you need to say, right, what do I want? How do I want this to happen? And do I have the right people around me to help me do that? Because feeling safe is, it just makes an entirely different, a different experience altogether, feeling really safe and comfortable with the people that are around you. So definitely ask lots of questions, and it's never too late to change your mind.
Yes.
You know, it's not a bad thing to be of the, we all, before we have children, we have all these ideals. You know, I'm not going to do this, and I would never do that, and I will never do this. And I can promise you that most of those will change. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that, because we learn, we grow and we learn. And if we didn't do that, nothing would ever change. So it's really important to know that you can change. If you thought something was right and then you get there and, you know, things are different and you start to question and then you decide, no, actually, this is how I'd like to go about that. That's okay. That is okay.
Was there anything in your preparation that you would recommend other mamas to do or listen to or be a part of?
Oh, 100% the natural birth course. I really did enjoy that. You know, I'd done a lot of reading, and there's so many numbers and statistics, and but to listening to the natural birth course, it was really empowering, because there was so much information about how amazing women's bodies are and what they're capable of, and every little function that has its own purpose, you know. And that to me was, you know, it wasn't all numbers and statistics and interventions. It was just, this is what our bodies do, and they are amazing. Mm-hmm. And this is how you can help your body achieve those things. And yeah, it was just, it made me feel so confident that I was like, oh, like, this is amazing. This is crazy. Like, you can do this. People have been giving birth to babies for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. Like, you know, and it was just, yeah, it gave me a lot of confidence listening to the information in the natural birth course. And I just, yeah, I felt really, really empowered by it, really informed. And as I said, I remember, like, in labor, I remember thinking to myself, astronaut breath, breathe, you know. And everybody's different with that, but I didn't yell, I didn't scream, the only thing you heard from me was my breath. And that's very individual, but that's what was going through my head. It was astronaut breaths, and you can do anything for a minute, you can do anything for a minute, you know, it will be over, it'll. And also, the moment where I realized that I was in transition. I'd read a lot about transition, and you know, it's very medical, a lot of the things that you read about it. But the way that it had been described in the natural birth course, being from a much more spiritual perspective, and I was able to acknowledge that and sit with it and not be afraid. I didn't have that rush of fear. You know, of, oh my gosh, I can't do this. It was just, oh, and I remember the look on my midwife's face when she was like, it's just energy, it's fine. And I was like, I'm in transition. Like, yes, you are. And I just thought, and I was fine. I just sat with that and I was like, this is good. This is great. Like, this is where I need to be, because this means I'm about to meet my baby.
Wow. Beautiful. Makes me tear when you say that. Makes me so happy to hear.
It was lovely. It's just nice to listen to, you know, someone with so much experience, and in a way that it really is more connected with the woman, you know, not the medical, not the, you know, this is not like we're a robot. Like, you know, this is just amazing. It is completely natural. And yeah, it was just lovely, because I remember having thoughts back to that course while I was actually laboring. So it had a huge impact on me. I'd highly recommend it.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing that. It makes me really happy to hear. It's so beautiful to get feedback and yeah, you know, it's made from, you know, heart and yeah, it's beautiful that it's received in a beautiful way. So thank you.
We need so much more education like that for pregnant mamas. Yep. 100%.
Thank you so much for coming on the Natural Birth Podcast and sharing your birthing wisdom. It's just so beautiful that you got to have your beautiful home birth that you'd been dreaming of and longing for. And I remember just talking to you on that same day, just a few hours before you had your baby, that you were really saying that, oh, I don't know if it's, you know, going to happen. And and then you had a baby a few hours later and I just, yeah, I was so happy.
It was crazy, but it was beautiful. But thank you for having me. And if I can share and help other mamas believe in themselves, then I'm all for it. We can do it. We are amazing.
I'm sure that everyone listening to this just, yeah, feels the same. So empowered from your story and so happy that you had that beautiful outcome as well.
I hope it helps. That's all I can ask for.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. If you love this podcast, then please share it. Grade it on iTunes and leave a comment. If you want to connect on social media, you can find me on Facebook as The Spiritual Midwife or on Instagram as the_spiritual_midwife. Thank you for listening.